I'm joined by Aaron Zellin, fellow at the Washington Institute and author of the blog Jihadology. Aaron, we've seen today the apparent fall of the Tahpitanas helicopter base in northern Syria. What's the significance, do you think, of the involvement of jihadi fighters in that battle?
I think it highlights that some of the best fighters are involved with the fight, at least in the north. There's some reporting that, you know, some of the fighting more in the south is other different factions, but in the north, which is more conservative part of Syria, the main fighters are jihadis, including the group Jabhat al-Nusra, which was recently designated by the United States as a terrorist organization, as well as the new coalition of smaller jihadi factions, which they call themselves the Syrian Islamic Front, and it's headed by the Ahrar al-Sham brigades. So these were the two main fighting forces that were going in the Tahpitanas battle.
It's your understanding that they've led that battle, is it?
Yeah, based off of the information on the group's Facebook pages, YouTube, social media, as well as official sources from the opposition, that the Jabhat al-Nusra and Syrian Islamic Front were fighting together in coordination in this specific battle.
Is this a worrying development?
Well, it's sort of been happening slowly over time, where these types of movements have gotten stronger, more fighters, and also more prominence, partially because many of their fighters have experienced previously, especially the Syrians, because there are some foreign fighters, but the majority of both of these entities are Syrian, that previously fought in Iraq. So they are very disciplined. They know how to use their weapons. And one of the more important things, I think, too, is that many of these individuals don't have an issue with dying. They're not risk averse. As a result, they're willing to go full throttle in anything. And as a result, they're able to potentially get more out of it. And because of that, they're viewed as very fierce and great fighters in the battlefield. And even among secularists and other people in the FSA, they're viewed in a high regard because of their fighting prowess.
Do you think they overestimate their popularity in Syria?
The FSA or
the jihadi groups like Jabhat al-Nusra and al-Sham?
Well, they probably disproportionately, you know, have power and punch above their weight just because of their fighting skills. Whether they have, you know, broad-based support is debatable. As we have seen in many different zones of war, you know, jihadis are usually just a small group of individuals. But what's interesting about the case of Jabhat al-Nusra, as well as the Syrian Islamic Front, is that in addition to providing, you know, being the top fighters, they've been providing services as well, such as bread, gas, as well as other types of amenities, including blankets and the like, just because obviously it's the winter now and things have gotten really bad in terms of the weather. So they also have that advantage there in terms of being able to provide these services, which it's difficult to show likely funding streams through some of the, you know, Al-Qaeda networks, whereas there is some evidence to suggest that there is some funding from Turkey and Qatar for the Syrian Islamic Front based on the videos that they put out.
Do you think an operation like this is going to help them win over hearts and minds in Syria?
Yeah, I think over the last month or two, especially in light of the designation, which many Syrians had a negative reaction to, they continue to gain more popularity. The question is what happens if it, when the Assad regime falls? Many Syrians do not agree with sort of Jabhat al-Nusra or the Syrian Islamic Front's programs after the fact. And as a result, at that time, that's when you'll start seeing more fissures opening up because of the different ideological underpinnings of these groups, which would like to institute an Islamic State, where, as we have seen, most Syrians still, I believe, are interested in setting up a democratic state.
Now, today, there have been also been reports that the commander in the Al-Farouq Brigade, which is linked to the Muslim Brotherhood, has been killed in possible retaliation for the death of a fighter from Jabhat al-Nusra. Do you think this is a sign of things to come? Is it going to be a turf war amongst rebel groups?
Yeah, I think as things continue to spin out of control, and as, you know, the regime retracts from especially the north, that in addition to fighting, there's going to be against the regime, there's going to be fighting within the rebels based on ideological differences and also manpower and who is the rightful heir of, you know, being the individuals that really brought about the change in Syria and the revolution. So you'll see fighting probably between the FSA and Islamists. You'll see fighting between like Ikhwani type of Islamists versus jihadi type of Islamists. And this will likely get worse once the regime does fall.
How do you see it playing out over the next few weeks? I saw a seminar from some of your colleagues just before Christmas saying that Syria was entering an end game. Do you see it that way too?
I think, as Jabhat al-Nusra likes to say, that it's sort of the beginning of the end. I don't think that the regime's going to necessarily fall right away, but I do think over time it's going to continue to chip at it. When it's going to happen, it's obviously hard to predict just because there is sort of this stalemate, even though I do think the advantage is with the rebels just because they have more popularity and the isolation of the regime and more people defecting from it. And Assad's, his inner workings are, you know, getting smaller. It just depends on how the fighting continues to go. And one of the key factors looking forward now is the weather, just because things have gotten really cold. And we've seen not only in Syria, but in other areas about, you know, the snow, how that's affecting people, how people are getting more desperate in a lot of areas in the north because they're starving. And as a result, there's sort of that dynamic going on as well.
Okay, Aaron, thanks very much.
Thank you.